Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Okay, guys, this is just a heads up that we will be talking about the game in depth. So if you haven't played the game yet and you're worried about having things ruined for you, I just want to let you know, maybe pause this and come back when you are ready. Otherwise, we're going to dig right in. We're going to talk extensively about the game right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Spectacular Show. I'm your host, John O'Connor. Today we have the final episode of our Final Fantasy VI review with our good buddy Aaron Madison of the Controller Freak podcast. Obviously, last week we missed an episode again, second time in about a month, and just figured I'd give you guys a quick little update, maybe a couple of minutes at the most, and then we'll get into the interview. So basically, my girlfriend and I are moving. We have been in a studio apartment for the entire pandemic, and it's been a little tough, so we started looking at apartments, and we found a great apartment in Astoria, Queens. So we're basically doubling our space, which is great, but we've been, you know, we were looking for apartments, and it took some, you know, took some time to do the whole thing. So anyway, we got one. So we haven't moved yet. We'll be packing and getting ready over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be moving there sometime around mid-April, so very excited about that. Unfortunately, the whole process takes a lot of time, so you know, I haven't been able to devote as much time to the show, unfortunately. But you know, it may be a little sporadic, might be a little hiatus, or maybe I'll put out an episode or two over the next few weeks just to keep going. I'm sorry, I don't know if you can hear the giant wind blowing or the skill saw underneath us, but they're still remodeling the apartments around us, so it's pretty noisy, makes it kind of tough to record. But in a few weeks, that won't be an issue, because I'll have a whole separate room, and I can close the door, and hopefully there won't be too much noise. But anyway, thank you guys again. Again, just keep in mind, over the next month or so, the show might be a little sporadic as we move and relocate to our new home. But for now, again, just like a few weeks ago, we've got the straightforward interview here. I wasn't able to prepare any comedy stuff for the interview today. So, unfortunately, no glitz and glamour, but we do have the interview. It's a great ending, I think. And next week, or maybe the week after, I'm not sure when we'll release it, Aaron and I also sat down when we recorded this to record an episode where we debate which game is better, Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy VI. What do you guys think? Let us know. Reach out to us at Spectacular Show Pod, or send us an email, spectacularshowpod@gmail.com. That episode will come out in a couple of weeks or so, I think, or maybe next week. We'll see what happens. But for today, the conclusion of Final Fantasy VI month with Aaron Madison, our good buddy, and make sure to check out his podcast, Controller Freak.
I really was kind of psyched about it, because I remember that happening finally. What I forgot all about this whole time that we have not talked about at all is when you beat a boss, you get this crack of lightning.
Yes.
Crack.
Yeah.
Crack, crack. They start decomposing or whatever.
Yeah.
And when you beat Kefka and that crack rings out, it's like, yeah!
I know, right, because you know. And there's there's a couple other effects, too, that, like, do a similar thing. And so, and there's a moment where you're like, okay, I saw a crack. Like, was that a different type of crack? Or was that what I think it was? And then you see him start to sort of disintegrate, and you know, you're like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's a really effective, like, split second, like, I think I just did it. It's a really great, exciting moment that, like, they've built in there.
You know that they
nailed it with that too, because, like, that the boss, like, finishing animation and, like, that crack, I'm pretty sure is carried over verbatim into Chrono Trigger. I think they carry it through that disintegration where they fade slowly away. I think the crack happens as well. So they know they nailed that one.
Yeah, it was so great. And like, you go from here and is it like a 15 minute ending or something? Like a 20 minute ending?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you mean as the credits sort of play, or?
Yeah, because you like, I don't remember if you like jump out of the tower or what happens, but then, because I think Terra, you're trying to escape the island or the tower as it collapses around you, right?
Yes.
And you're playing through like a credits movie.
Oh no, you're right. It goes to black and there's like this book, and then it's going through all of your, right, it's the credits, but it's like your characters as you rename them, if you rename them, and it'll be like it'll be like your character as Terra. And then it'll cut, and like it'll have Terra, and it's like little scenes of them escaping and doing characteristic things, like somebody will fall, and then somebody else will catch him and be like, "I got you."
Yeah, let's lock. Lock saves Celeste that way, right?
Right, because that's Locke's whole thing is that he needs to be the savior, because of what happened with Rachel. It goes through, and it sort of goes through these beautiful pixel rendered like pictures of these little icons, relics of each character that are like tied to them. I'm spacing on what they are for most of them right now,
but each one is like, you know, I'm making them up, but like Shadow is like a knife in the table or something, Saban is, or like a Setzer is like a deck of cards on the table or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you get like a little glimpse into each character, and granted, if you don't have Shadow here, they don't mention him.
No. At some point they showed me like a portrait of him, and it was like, sorry, you like fucked up.
Yeah.
Didn't get him. But it depends on, I think you probably see a scene with him if you actually have him, but.
And this is where Terra turns into her Esper version and uses her power to like steer the airship out or like save the airship while it's, I forget what's happening, but like to prevent it from collapsing or getting hurt or injured, Terra flies around and uses her magic power to like fly them to safety.
Yeah, she's got to get them out, right?
And she ends up, I read in the original version of the ending, she died.
Oh, wow.
But they were like, nah, man, that sucks. Like she's been the whole way, like let her live. So I guess they did it where she uses the very last of her magic power to save them, but then she ends up falling onto the airship and she's okay.
Yeah,
she's even though she's no longer magic.
Right, she's sort of become a human, but yeah, she's not dead.
Yeah, and every character on the way out like kind of resolves their own shit, right?
Yeah.
But if you have Shadow in the party, he's like, I think he's like following somebody out with his dog. Huh. And he just stops and he pulls the dog aside, or maybe he sends the dog on the way. I forget, but Shadow either sends the dog on the way or he keeps the dog with him. I forget, but he basically pulls himself aside and just ducks down. And he does his normal Shadow thing, which is like, I don't deserve to live. I don't deserve anything. And I think he tells, I remember in the last episode, I briefly told you about his dreams and how he had like a partner that he left for dead.
Yeah.
The partner was like, I'm going to die. You either kill me or we both get caught. So kill me so they won't hurt me. But then Shadow can't bring himself to do it. And he abandons the guy.
Right.
Alive. I forget the character's name. Maybe Shadow is named Clyde. I forget the other character, but he says to that character, like, I'm not going to run anymore or something. So it's very heavily implied that Shadow stays behind now that everybody's safe to kill himself.
Yeah, just to let himself go down with Kefka's power.
And I thought like that was a very tragic ending for him, because he was a character that made mistakes, but he redeemed himself over and over.
Yeah, just couldn't.
But on the whole, that the dynamic, just joyous, triumphant, just this music that just, I felt like it was just freedom. It felt like you were flying with the airship flying through the air.
Yeah,
it was so moving.
And as the like actual game credits roll, you're just Setzer's just like, it's the best airship in the world, and you're just like flying with him, and you just, there's all of these very, very beautifully animated shots of like this airship just speeding across the sky as you're sort of, you're seeing everybody who made this great game, and you're right. sort of, you're just kind of letting it all wash over you that you're done with the game, you finished it.
And then when you get to the very, very end, the words "the end" appear on the screen.
Yes.
And it's like when in Star Wars, when they go to hyperspace and all the stars fly by them.
Yeah.
It's the same effect of like you're flying toward, it's like you're flying into the screen, right? Yeah. But all the stars are washing toward you as if you're flying through space.
Right.
But the words "the end" appear, and then the prelude.
Yeah, you've got that Final Fantasy prelude that
just kicks on. And when that music, like when it starts, it's just kind of that, it's kind of like musical scales, right? Like do 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 do
No, it's for like a mainline video game. Like, has that prelude music been with the series since the very beginning, or did it drop? I know it was in FF2 or 4.
It was.
Has that been there the whole time?
Or? I think it was. You know,
because
I played Final Fantasy 2/4 and 3/6, and I also played 7, 8, and 9 on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have not played any other Final Fantasy games.
Like those early, because I wonder if that, like, if that was part of the, if that music has been with the series for the entire run, or because that would feel right, because it's so, it just is Final Fantasy,
right?
So, my girlfriend who doesn't, she's played a little Final Fantasy, but she isn't a huge like retro gamer. She was listening as I beat the game, and I beat the game, and I like, turned it off, and I was like, okay, like I beat the game, and I walked over by her, and she was like, that music was like so sad,
isn't it? Yeah,
and it's true. It's like, it's weird because the reason I ask is that video games from like the late 80s or early 90s, when Final Fantasy was beginning, if you had a video game theme, it was generally going to be like, it's a Superman theme, or like it's some Dragon Warrior theme that's just like going to hype you up.
Right.
Whereas Final Fantasy is so, there's this pathos that's like, you should be sad. You should be devastated. An empire is dying.
Right. Like,
and it's your responsibility to fix it, even if it kills you. And
right.
Like, I feel like for whatever qualms you may have, I don't think it's the closest video game series to my heart, but I have to respect that, like, that depth and that seriousness, you know, and that sadness at the core of it. It's so unique.
Yeah, it's very, I had chills, and I totally, like, at the end of that game, I sat there and just listened to it for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it was just so, it's also, it's a very sad song.
It is.
And like with any music, especially with music that you, it's kind of music that you love, but you don't realize that you love it.
Yeah.
So for me, I haven't played this game in, I don't know. You know, I broke into it like when I first got the SNES Mini for like a few hours, and then that was it, right?
Sure. Like, okay. I remember this.
But if you don't count that, I hadn't played this game in probably more than half of my life.
Yeah.
More than half of my life has been lived since the last time I played this game.
Sure.
So to be transported back by this music, and to just, as dumb as it sounds, to like feel young again and remember this music and remember what it felt like to be a teenager and to have this be kind of the coolest thing you were doing at the time or whatever, you know, this was kind of my favorite thing for a little while in my life.
Yeah.
It was very, it kind of transcended the experience. The experience kind of transcended itself, where you know, this is this classic story, this classic game that I hold very near and dear to my heart. But to have forgotten all about it, but hear all of a sudden this very moving soundtrack, it was like, oh my God, I forgot what it was like to feel this way.
Yeah.
You know?
There's something that really, I mean, I know I'm probably digging too deep into this, like, piece of single music from the game, as good as it may be. But
sure.
It seems to, I feel like for me, it, like, I don't know, it exemplifies what is really amazing about this game, especially for people who are young, who are like, I don't know, like to be a teenager or around that age and to go through this story. And unlike most video games at that time, to have it basically say, like, you're about to embark on an adventure like this. Your life will be an adventure. It will be fucking sad at times. It will be like hard at times. But it's right. going to be an adventure. It's going to be important. It's going to be, you're going to be important. You're going to do something important. It's going to be difficult, but you're going to do it out of love. Like, that's like an amazing thing to put into a heart at mm-hmm. that age. Which is like, yeah, I don't know. That music, when I hear that music, that's what I think. And it's what I feel.
Yes.
It's a testament to that music that it can convey all that from this game.
Yes. And I also kind of love just the idea that the music, I mean, if you don't ever stop and listen to it, it's just that kind of musical scale at the front of it. You have to listen to it for, I think, about 30 seconds before that kind of orchestral section comes in and starts adding that extra layer. So if you've always just been like, all right, I'm here, I'm clicking my save and I'm in.
Right, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
You never heard it. You never heard the whole song.
Right. The song is dun-dun-dun-dun to you.
So it's almost, you know, there are so many things in the game, like you're saying, that, you know, you get this little piece of it and you never, if you don't scratch beneath the surface, you don't get it.
You don't get the full reward. Yeah.
Right. And I think that song is kind of exemplative. Is that the right word? It kind of exemplifies everything that is this game, the Paladin Shield and Ragnarok and the Atma Weapon and, you know, deep diving and trying to find more.
Yeah.
Waiting for Shadow, which who the fuck would wait for Shadow?
No, he's dead.
Nobody. But once you know that, you're like, God damn it. I didn't wait for Shadow.
Why did I wait for Shadow, the raddest ninja in the entire game?
Come on, man.
What is wrong with me?
just to call back to that previous talk we had, in that world of balance, when he's abandoned you on that island or whatever the fuck it is, and then Celeste shows up, and then she's gonna kill you, but then she betrays Kefka and kills him, and then he's bleeding out, and then he zaps everybody, and everybody's just frozen. And Shadow, like, you hear that whenever Shadow dashes into the scene, you hear that, like, that, like, double whistle.
Yeah.
And the camera pans over, and he just jumps off one side of the island, and he just jumps into the air, like, with his arms spread out. You're like, this is gangsta shit right here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, true.
It's like the most epic save of the whole first half of the game. It's Shadow bailing everybody out at the end of that. Shadow bailing out at the end of that.
No, that's definitely the most, that's the ballinest thing that a sprite does in this game.
Oh, like,
no other sprite gets quite so in it. Hats off to Shadow. I feel like a total tool for not giving him a sec.
I really, when we were talking about it and I said, like, do you want me to tell you about this character? And you were like, no, I want it to happen organically. And I'm like, you really don't,
You want to know. I appreciate that there were consequences that I, you know, I do, but.
Yeah. So you played through the whole game.
Yes.
Top to bottom. Just tell me in general, how do you feel about it? What do you think about it? How was it?
I mean, I loved it. I'm so happy that I played it. It's obviously a huge part of video game history, the foundations of video game history. The RPG development, I think, it's interesting because I can see the ways that modern RPGs were born of this exact game, this particular game.
Right.
You see the DNA of a lot of different, and like the ideas that would shape, like, what is open world, what is it, what is a party, what is an effective use of a party in an RPG, like, how do we make people care about stories in RPGs? How do we let people choose what they want to do in an RPG? How do we make satisfying systems in RPGs? I can identify things that happened in RPGs later in history, in video game history, where if they had just spent a little more time with FF6 and added a couple more interlocking systems, they would have created a battle system that was much more satisfying or whatever. It's a really amazing example of innovation at that time and in that genre. I'm thrilled that I played it.
I'm really glad you liked it. And dude, I just want to say thank you so much, because even though it's one of those things, like, you tell somebody, you know, you're like, hey, this thing I've done or seen or played or felt or whatever, I know you'll like it.
Yeah.
But the problem is with all of those things, especially something as big as this game, it's such an investment. So it's like, you know, somebody's been like, you got to read this book. And it's like, all right, I will. But I've got to be ready to read the book.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I can't force myself because now I'm doing homework.
Sure.
So it's this big pain in the ass. I don't want to fucking read this book right now.
Right, right.
So I am glad. And I just want to say, dude, I really, really, really appreciate you playing this game, because I know how much of an investment it is to play this game. It's
not at all.
It's quite literally like over a full work week to get through it.
I actually, surprisingly, I hadn't thought about it in terms of work hours, but you're right. I would, if I had played this in a week's worth of time, which I didn't, I kept checking in with you and you'd be like, where are you? And I'll be like, well, I think I'm getting close, man, right here. And you're like, you're not getting close. We're going to need another week.
We were supposed to record that first day and you're like, well, I just opened up the Esper cave. I'm like, right. All right, man, we'll do it another week.
I'm about to beat I know. I was like, I'm about to beat the game, man. It's feeling like really, really epic right now.
To be fair, that's what you're supposed to feel.
Right, right. Right.
So I knew, but I also knew, like, there's no way he's finishing this game.
Nope.
Based
nope.
on these time frame he set. So
yeah, no, I didn't have the physical poster on my wall with an entire other world map that was
yes, like, on the other side of it. Right.
Right. You are now yeah. going to explore this entire other world.
Yeah, yeah. That world of ruin, man, that is such a curveball where it you're is. Like, oh, I've got to be almost done with this game. And it's like, no, you're like, no. about halfway done with this game,
right? If that, right, and we're gonna hold your hand way less now, and it's just gonna be your game to experience.
Hope you like fast fish.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, do you have like? I'm just curious if you have a favorite character or like a favorite scene or something that just jumped out at you that you thought was great.
I mean, we've talked about Cyan's story. I really think the handling of him throughout was really special.
I have to agree. I think his story was the saddest story. I really
yeah.
do.
Yeah, and handled with the most nuance. It was really cool. Of the other characters, you know, I liked Edgar and Sabin. It's sort of simple, and you like you get to the end of the whole thing, and like you're expecting them to have some other like emotional reason to be in the fight, but like they literally do. At least Sabin does when everyone's stepping forward to tell Kefka like why life still matters and why love's gonna win. Sabin is just like, I found my brother's forgiveness and his love. It's like, great, man. But it's sort of beautiful that they're like, they just went their different ways and they like sort of resented each other, but like this adventure brought them back together. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
I think the world too, the world is just so, the way that they transform it in the middle, it's just, that's such a cool, I will remember along with all of the characters in the game, the world and the way that it transforms and the way you have to transform with it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that answers your question fully, but like,
no, it does. It really does. I mean, for me, there were a few moments where I thought to myself, you know, this really moves me. One of them, like we said, anytime a character got their own title card, it was excellent. They went like 18 for 18 with that shit.
Yeah, that's true.
No doubt. Every character, every time a character came on screen and it was like, you know, Tara was the first one. A young girl who's been, you know, I'm totally paraphrasing and totally botching what it actually said, but you get this moment where anytime they introduce a member of your party, the scene that they're in fades away behind them and the whole screen goes black and they just get moved to the middle of the screen.
Right.
And then there's text about them that says, yes, you know, like Terra's like a weapon of the Empire, a girl that's been brainwashed who has the gift of magic. And then you click the next button and it's got a picture of her and you've got her name and you get to select, is this her name or are you naming her something else?
Right.
Terra.
Right.
I felt like every one of those was very strong. Mm-hmm. I really felt like the opera scene, as silly as it could have been or was, the opera scene was really like beautiful and really sad, genuinely sad. And I really felt that it's weird because your party in the beginning of the game, like before the World of Ruin, your party is so tight. And then they get broken up and they just get scattered all over the world. And you might not even find them all.
Yeah.
And it becomes this thing when you're all back together. When you're fighting Kefka, you're all there together. It's very much like a, we are here and you're going to have to kill us.
No, you're right. That's a takeaway for me too, is like that. And I don't think another SNES game or game to that time had done that yet, of like you've gone through 12 playable characters or 14 playable characters or however many, and this entire group you're invested in, like you're invested in the team and you're managing the team, and like it's all of them together, it's not just one of them. That was really, really, really effective. You're right.
Do you have, before we start to wrap it up, do you have a favorite character or playable character in the game?
Gosh, that goes back to team for me, because it changed. It like varied across the playthrough, which made me want to include, when a character came, like fell out of favor, became less powerful because I hadn't spent time on them, or like the plot didn't follow them, and then they came in later and I was like, I kind of got over you. I would feel bad because I was like, no, but like that's Cyan. He's my samurai guy who like, he was my go-to in hour like 20 of this game, but now on hour 40, he doesn't keep up, but I still want him around. Like I still enjoy having him be a part of my team. So like I loved, similarly, Locke. For a lot of the game, or the early game, Locke was like a little bit of a pushover, and I was like, don't really see what the hype is about. Like, I know this guy is supposed to be one of the cool guys of this game, but I don't know. Edgar's auto crossbow beats him every time.
Every time.
And late in the game, as we've mentioned, he was an absolute beast. So just that joy of like discovering each character's niche, and like I'll say Celis was fun across the game for different reasons for me. She never stopped being fun. Everyone has their niche. But I would say Celis is a really cool character who like had a couple different ways of being rad. That she was like such a skilled magic user, but could also use that her relic sword. And early in the game, that was extremely, when I fought Kefka for I think the first or second time, where you're broken into teams, it was just her and Cyan on a team, and they were like my like alpha team, and they like sped ahead. And the way that they beat him was, because he was just a mid-level magic user, she would just keep casting Relic Sword.
And Runic, right?
Runic, sorry, yeah, yeah. Runic. She would keep casting her Runic Sword. She would just absorb anything that he spat out. And Cyan would just whip him turn after turn after turn. And he, like, didn't touch us. Sorry, that was a random memory from the playthrough. But
that's great, though. Yeah, I love it. Honestly, no, go ahead.
No, it's finding shit like that I'll remember. I love them all.
I really do. I love every character's story in the game, quite honestly. I love Terra. In this playthrough especially, I really loved Locke a lot more than I did in the prior playthrough.
Yeah.
I also really loved Celeste a lot more than I did in the prior playthrough. I thought her character was awesome. She was badass. Celeste was, Tara was my number one, but Celeste was definitely my number two. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, she's really useful.
But in terms of all of the characters, and he was one of my favorites in the original playthrough, but I really love Shadow. I think, and the thing is, doing my research on this playthrough and learning more about his background and learning that he's Realm's father.
Yeah.
It was such a shock, but I also just feel so bad for him because he's a character who he made some mistakes or a mistake or some mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. But he just can't forgive himself.
Yeah.
And because of that, he lives this tortured existence.
Yeah.
Where he's intentionally turned off his emotions and it's money or nothing.
Good.
And even when he saves the fucking day and saves everybody, even at the end of the game, after because of him, everybody's alive and the world is okay, he still is like, I can't go out. It's like Moses in the burning bush, like Moses doesn't get to see the promised land. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of the same thing with Shadow. Like, he didn't necessarily lead us here, but Shadow saved the whole game at least one time.
Sure.
And then there was a part in the game where during the burning building, he comes out and saves the entire party and Realm from the fire.
Right.
And even so, even after all of that, when they've saved the day and they're all escaping to safety in their new life, he stays behind to die.
Yeah, because he can't forgive himself. Yeah.
Yeah, and my heart just, like, breaks for the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Final Fantasy goes back to that type of person a lot.
The person
who can't forgive himself or who's done so much evil that they're, like, stuck. They're like, I'm not worth anything.
Right.
You see it in Cloud a little bit in 7. You see it in Cecil in 4, too, of just, like, guys who, like, feel like they're shit and like they're hard asses, and the reason they're hard asses is because they feel like they're shit. There was a part in the Final Fantasy 7 remake that came out I think last year or earlier this year that reminds me of it, where Cloud's not to get off topic too much, but Cloud's just like hard ass, right? Hard ass cool merc, and somebody says late in the game, like, you've got no self-worth, like that's your issue. Which is not something you would think of necessarily. Like, he seems like he's above it all. He seems aloof, but they're absolutely right. He hates himself. That's why he doesn't want any of this shit. He hates who he is.
Right.
Same is true for Shadow. And I think that's part of that like core sadness of Final Fantasy, that like the hardest guys, the most badass characters are that way for a reason.
They absolutely are. And I think that, same thing. Shadow, even Cyan, I think went through it, but he got past it.
Yeah.
Shadow did not. Yeah. Just other shout out, I really love Mog. I think Mog is just like a fun, cute character, just period. Like, that's it. It's just, I don't like him other than I think he looks cool. He's a fun looking character. I like that he's got dances and he looks cool and he's cute and whatever. He's another one for me. But on the whole, I think that for me this time around, even though I already loved Terra, I love Terra even more. Locke was the one that made the biggest jump for me.
From
like, all right, I like this guy, to like, all right, this dude's great. And then Celeste to like, or Celeste, I don't know how to say the name, but
me neither.
she really became a character I grew very attached to this time. And then, I already loved Shadow, but I kind of doubled down on him this time. And, even though I didn't use Mog very much, I love Mog.
Yeah, and I think, as you sort of saw in the guide that you consulted occasionally on the internet, I married how I felt with a character with how I developed them to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if somebody who is really underperforming or you haven't invested in them much, it's sort of reflected in like how much you give a shit about their character.
Whereas,
I was very invested in certain stories, I think, because I spent so much time thinking about, like, okay, how do I make this person effective? What's my favorite way to play this character.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
That would spit me back into the story all the more. Yeah.
We are coming up to the end here. We've gone through the whole thing. We've gone through characters and scenes and you name it. We've gone
balance
through
and ruin. And
yeah. Everything in between. was there anything else that we didn't cover that you wanted to get into before we wrap it up here?
Oh gosh. No, I don't think, I think we've gone through it all, haven't we? And I think, you know, no, I don't think so. It's just, it's what a ride, you know? Yeah.
What a ride it has been, dude. And again, I can't thank you enough for playing this game. I almost feel bad because I feel like you didn't understand how long it would take when you started playing it.
No. I think there was a way for me to, if I wanted to, I could have bum rushed this game. I think I could have probably shaved 10 hours off my playthrough and I could have gone through the guide the whole time and just been like, okay, like I gotta do this thing for John. Like I'm gonna read this walkthrough and just like pound out, just like pick up all the most OP weapons and like, but it became clear to me pretty early on that like, I, of course I didn't want to do that. Like,
right.
I wanted to have the experience at least for the most part. And only go to the walkthrough when I really needed to. So it was my pleasure, absolutely. And thank you for. I think this SNES Mini just would have sat here. And I don't think I ever would have played it if we didn't do this. And I'm so glad I did.
Me too, dude. But I'm really really glad you got to play this one. It's kind of like, you know, to me this is like a Beatles album.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, what? You never heard that one? You're going to want to hear it. You're right, going to want to hear it.
I know Abbey Road's good, but you just listen to Rubber Soul. There's really
yeah, exactly.
Awesome shit on there.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. What
Beatles album would this be, do you think?
That's actually a really hard question because it's like, it's so epic and right. It's so great, but it's like, not specifically the greatest.
Right. Right. Right.
Right.
But it's so super important.
But it is super important. So where do you line it up? If it's not, everybody always says Sergeant Pepper's is the best Beatles album.
Yeah.
Which I disagree. I think it's Abbey Road.
Me too.
But all right. So if it's not Abbey Road, cause it's not necessarily the best all time.
Yeah.
But maybe on the SNES it is, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it becomes this thing of like, is it Abbey Road? If it's not Abbey Road, okay. Is it White Album?
I think it's fucking White Album.
You think so, right? All right.
Because it's like huge and there's gems on there, but those are also like a crazy amount of shit. And like sometimes you're in the Phoenix Cave and you've got like some random shit playing that like McCartney made up and you're like, why? What are we talking about here? But then there's
exactly.
Like, it'll drop you in and you'll suddenly be, and there's all these genres that are competing, like you're in a Western at one point and then you're
yeah.
in medieval romance in another, like
in an opera in another.
Right. And it shouldn't work. There's too much there, but it does. It does mm-hmm. just through pure, like,
I think you're
creative
right.
energy.
I think it's the White Album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the White Album. Dude, again, thank you so, so, so much.
Of course.
Playing this. I'm really happy you enjoyed it.
I did.
Before we get out of here, please tell people where to find you and where to find your podcast, which I love, Controller Freak.
Thank you, sir. Yes, you can find Controller Freak, which is a podcast where Julia, my wonderful girlfriend, and my buddy Owen, our buddy Owen, talk about
video
games. And me, talk about video games. You can find that on most any podcasting platform, so give us a listen if you feel so inclined. And you can go to controllerpod.com if you want to see our little website.
Aaron Madison, it has been a pleasure and an honor, sir. I really appreciate you playing this like 50-hour game for free just so I could have a podcast.
Not at all, man. Don't mention it. It was my pleasure.
Really appreciate it, buddy. So again, thank you very much, you guys. Please check out Controller Freak. And one more time, a big shout out to my boy, Aaron Madison.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, buddy.